Well, good morning, MC3. Once again, it is good to be here and see you guys once again. Hey, before we jump in, let me just say this. If this is your very first time hanging out here, welcome. We're glad you're here. We always say this, but it's a big deal to come to church. And so we thank you, especially if it's raining outside and you guys came in the rain. You know, always thank the Lord and go, really, Lord, can you just not rain ever on a Sunday, you know? But it does sometimes. And so glad you're here. Afterward, see Kevin or Melissa in the back. They've got a free gift for you back there. So we are landing the plane on a sermon series we started a while back at the front end of November, called A Church on Mission. You'll still see on the wall over here to my left, to your right, you'll see some missionaries. Actually, I say missionaries. They're ministers from India that we've been praying for. You'll see some little cards on the prayer tables in the back with a ring through it. Those are ministers in India that we're praying for. And so we've had a lot of mission stuff happening here in the month of November, and we're kind of landing the plane on all of that today. And I'm going to kind of challenge you guys today, if it's okay. I'm going to kind of ask you guys to lean in just a little bit. But before we get there, Keith and I, a couple weeks ago, we were just sitting around talking. Our offices are right here, our desks butt up to one another, and sometimes, you know, we work on doing our thing, and all of a sudden, we'll just kind of, one of us will pull away and just, you know, kind of engage the other one in conversation. We'll just kind of talk. I love it. It's absolutely fantastic, us being in the same place. In fact, if I could, I would knock down all the walls, and we'd do it Google style in there. We could all just kind of hang out together. But, so I looked at Keith. We were kind of talking about the men that poured into us as ministers, and Keith mentioned his minister, Brandon, from Water Valley, Mississippi, where he came from, and how Brandon poured into him. And of course, you've heard me talk about, probably ad nauseum a little bit, about Ken May, who has poured into me, because when I was at Antioch Christian Church over in Canton, Georgia, Ken took me under his wing, kind of showed me how to do things, like, you know, how to do funerals, how to work a room with people, you know, let people know that, hey, we really do care about you, right? That sort of thing. I never got a chance to see some of that. Maybe it happened. I just never paid attention when I was a kid. Taught me, you know, how to set up tables and chairs. I thought I knew how to do that, but we did it anyways. Taught me how to work hard in ministry, but also taught me how to have fun in ministry as well. And so I learned a lot from Ken, and Keith learned a lot from Brandon. And we were talking about how blessed we were to have that, because not every minister has someone that like that will pour into you. Sometimes as senior ministers, we can be kind of jerks sometimes and think it's about ourselves. And we just don't do that sometimes with younger ministers coming up. But that's really what we're called to do, right? And so anyway, I say all that to say that we today are going to talk about the fact that we are commissioned to make disciples. Every one of us are commissioned to go and make disciples. And whatever job you have or whatever job you will get into, my guess is you will have someone, no matter what kind of education you have, someone will take you under their wing and go, hey, here's how you do this job, right? Because when we come out of college, or you come out of, you know, getting your degrees and you go in to the job place, now you got to apply it. You got to apply it to your life. Sorry. By the way, today's my birthday, but I'm not 13, okay? Just FYI. So, but nonetheless, and apply it to your life. And it's hard to know how to do that. And sometimes it's great to have someone that will call you over and bring you under their wing and kind of help you out. It's kind of that whole master and apprentice type thing. And all of us, I believe, need some of that as we, in whatever job we have, as we grow in that job. And this is exactly what Jesus did for his disciples. They were with Jesus for 3 years. They watched how he lived. They watched how he healed. They watched how he preached. They watched how he treated others. And so they were with him all throughout that. They even watched how he served. And so Jesus trained them along the way as disciples so that they could do the very same thing. And what's interesting is somewhere halfway between year 3 and maybe even a little bit, before they even got to the halfway point in their ministry with Jesus, Jesus called them in together and said, hey, by the way, I'm sending you guys out 2 by 2 to go do what I do. And that's what Jesus did. He sent them out before they were really fully trained in ministry, so they could go out and they could work out what they had seen Jesus do. And so it's kind of like Jesus just said, hey guys, come here, jump off the deep end of the pool. This is what we're doing. And they did. They went off the deep end of the pool, and they went out two by two, and they began to do what they watched and studied Jesus doing. And that's what discipleship is, right? All of us are, we learn from watching and studying and observing, but at some point in time, we all have to apply what we've been taught. We have to actually work it out. And that's where sometimes our schooling really begins, when we begin to work it out. And eventually, when we put that training into work, that's where we begin to grow. And so Jesus, when he died on the cross, and when he rose again from the dead 3 days later, I'm sure the disciples thought, okay, things are going to get back to normal, right? We're going to get back right in to where we were before. We're going to be watching Jesus. Jesus is going to be doing. We're going to be watching. But that's not exactly what took place. Jesus was on the earth for about 40 days after he rose from the dead, kind of made cameo appearances here and there. And they were observing and watching Jesus along the way, but Jesus had other plans for them. It wasn't about them just watching Jesus do and them in the background kind of cheering Jesus on. That's not what it was about. Jesus had something better. He had something bigger for them. And we see this in Matthew chapter 28. We've been reading this, I think, all the way through this sermon series, I think. All this month, we have read Matthew 28. And so in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20, this is what Jesus says just before he ascends into heaven, right? I'm talking about just before he ascends into heaven. He says this. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. I love that. All right, that's just the realism of the scriptures. They believed, but like, wait a minute, is this really Jesus? Can somebody really raise from the dead? There was a little trepidation, a little doubt in there as well. It's kind of interesting because you and I probably go through that a little bit, right? We believe Jesus, but we doubt a little bit. A couple Wednesday nights ago, Tim was like, yeah, I'm like that guy in the scriptures where he says, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief, right? That's a lot of us, right? We believe in Jesus, but there's, you know, we're not all the way there yet. We still got things we're trying to work out with him. And that was the way the disciples were trying to work some things out. And then verse 18 says, Jesus just said to him, he came to him and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples. Now, if I had a paper Bible, I would highlight, circle, underline, and point arrows to that make disciples part. Okay? That's where we're going to hang out a lot here. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, this is the commission of all disciples of Jesus. This is a commission of all of the disciples of Jesus. This is our mission. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is your mission as a follower, as a disciple. This is your mission in life, right? We earn, you know, we get together, we earn degrees, right? We go to college, we earn a degree, have a career, get married, have kids, we watch them grow up. Hopefully, we have a decent retirement, and then they have kids, and we kind of watch that. And that's a great thing to see, right? That's a great picture for our life. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, right? In fact, I pray that all those things or some of those things happen to you. But that's not the mission that we've been called to accomplish. That's not the mission that we've been called to be a part of. Those things aren't our real mission that Jesus has put us on as followers of Jesus. I mean, that's the American dream, and that's great, and that's good if that happens to us. But God's dream for us, God's dream for you is that you would be a disciple who makes disciples. That's what we've been called to do. God's commission for you and me is that we would be a disciple who makes other disciples. And really, we could even add on to that, who in turn make other disciples. Somewhere along the line, you heard about Jesus, and someone told you, and then maybe you told someone else, and they told someone else, and it's been handed down to us. I often think about the chain that got to me. I don't know, you know, where it all came from, but my guess is all of it stems all the way back to some apostle, all the way back in the early church. He told someone who told someone who told someone who told someone who told someone, and finally it came back to my dad and then and mom, and then it came to me. And now I've passed it on to my kids. And so we have been called to be disciples who make disciples. And this is something, I'll be honest with you, that I wasn't necessarily taught as a young follower of Jesus. Now, obviously, of course, it's right there. I mean, we should know these things. But I believe there's been a disconnect in the American church with this right here, with making disciples. We talked about this here before you guys got here today. When we were on stage, we always do kind of a run through. And so I do a devotional. Christy goes, "Man, you're like really windy today. You're like talking a lot." And I said, "I know. I'm just trying to get all this out." Well, we were kind of talking on stage about the fact that when I was younger, I don't remember this being a thing. I don't remember someone saying, "Hey, let me take you under my wing and let's kind of show you the ropes." And I mean, no offense to my home church or anything like that. Maybe it happened. I just didn't see it. I don't know. But I think there's been a disconnect in the American church and making disciples. I think we've relied on the stage way too much to maybe sort of kind of make disciples. And we haven't wanted to roll up our sleeves, right? And say, "Hey, I'm getting into it. And we're going to actually make disciples." I think ministers have gotten distracted from the actual mission that we're called to be on, right? We sometimes think that we need to build bigger churches or draw bigger crowds and make monuments unto ourselves as ministers, which sadly, sometimes we as ministers approach church that way, but that's not the mission. That is not the mission. That's not what we have been commissioned to do. We've been commissioned to be a disciple who makes disciples. That's what we've been commissioned to do. If you want to know what's my life purpose, right? Why was I created? Why did God put me on the earth? This is it right here. To be a disciple that makes disciples. That's why we've been put on this planet. To impact someone around us by sharing our life with them. So as we kind of think about this, let's first define what a disciple is, right? We got to know what a disciple is before we can be one. And before we are one, we have to know, before we make one, we need to know what we're supposed to do, right? So a disciple is a learner. They're a student. In Jesus's day, a rabbi would often look for a worthy student, a disciple, and he would kind of pull them under their wing, and they would begin to pour into them all of their wisdom, all of their knowledge. And that disciple would literally follow their teacher everywhere they went. And they would study, and they would observe, and they would learn from that rabbi. And this is exactly what Jesus does. It's exactly what Jesus does with the 12 apostles, with the 12 disciples. In fact, we see it up front and clear in Matthew chapter 4. Now, Matthew 4, Matthew kind of fast-tracks this. We know that this took longer to come about, but Matthew just kind of sums it up in verse 18, Matthew 4, 18, where he says this. It says, "Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, 'Come, follow me.'" I would circle that word follow, underline it, highlight it, that sort of thing, right? "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." And the scripture says, at once they left their nets and they followed him. And in their following, you know what they did? They studied, they observed, and they learned from Jesus. They followed him around everywhere and watched what he did and would do what he did and say the things that he said, and they would pattern their life after him. And this became the pattern for every believer for us to follow. This is how we follow Jesus. It's not about making converts or stamping the name Christian on someone's forehead. It's not about that. It's not about padding numbers and making sure that we can brag about how many people were at church or and we're in small groups or anything like that. Our mission is to make disciples so that their roots go deep as they follow Jesus, who in turn will make disciples who will follow Jesus so that their roots grow deep, and so on and so forth and so on. And this is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, therefore, go and make disciples. It wasn't hidden. That's what he was saying. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Anybody around. You don't have to be this tall to ride. Anybody can ride. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's the starting point, right? That is the starting point. Baptism is the starting point of that, which is kind of interesting to me. And baptism is an interesting thing that has been put forth for us in Scripture. Because we see that Jesus, who never sinned, by the way, goes and he is baptized by John. He's baptized in the river. And John says, and rightly so, he goes, well, I shouldn't be baptizing you. Like, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, this is right for us to do this. That should tell us something, right? And then after Jesus is baptized and raised out of that water, right, because that's what baptism means, to dunk. And so as he's dunked underwater and raised up, the Scripture says that heaven opens, that God the Father says, this is my Son, who I am well pleased. Really? Was it that important? Yes, it was. So important that Jesus says, I've got to do this. So important that the Father shows up and says, this is my Son, who I am well pleased in. And then the Holy Spirit comes down and descends on Jesus. It's one of the first places in the New Testament we see the Trinity right there, which is at baptism. Romans chapter 6 talks about how when we are baptized, we are buried underwater and we are raised up into the newness of life. And some of you may go, I don't know if baptism is really all that important, right? Just kind of getting wet. No, it's more than that. It is about burying our old life. You know what it's about? It's about submission. I think a lot of people that don't get baptized, it's a submission issue more than anything else. And so this is the beginning point. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. And the first place you start is, hey, have you been baptized? Are you following Jesus, right? And if you know who Jesus is and you follow him, that's kind of the logical next step. And then he says this, right? Then he says this, and teaching them to obey, teaching them to follow everything that I've commanded you. I'm going to tell you this right here. I think it's easier to get people baptized than it is to do this part. This is the hard part. This is the hard work of discipleship. This is the hard work of discipleship, is to walk with someone and to lead them and guide them through their ups and through their downs. Because you know what? When we're leading people through their ups and through their downs, you know what we have? We have our own ups and our own downs, right? When you become a believer in Christ, by the way, just spoiler alert, when you become a believer in Christ, when you become a follower of his, life doesn't automatically line up, right? You know, all the tumblers line up and everything's great after that. And it's just smooth sailing into heaven. Nope, doesn't work that way. Life's still full of ups and downs. The great thing is now that you have the Holy Spirit in you and you get to follow the Lord and he is with you every step of the way, because he says here, and he says, and surely I am with you always. We don't do it alone. He's with us always. The Holy Spirit within us to lead us, guide us, to teach us right up to the very end of the age, right up until he comes back. So what are we commissioned to do? What are you commissioned to do? You're commissioned to make disciples who make disciples. Probably the best example we have of this, besides Jesus, right? Jesus does it perfectly. But one of the best examples besides Jesus is in Paul's ministry. In Paul's ministry, we clearly see this pattern being played out. Paul does exactly what Jesus does. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says something that at first sounds a little bit arrogant and boastful. But when we realize the context of it, it's not arrogant and boastful. It's actually him being a disciple maker. He says this, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. When we make disciples, that's exactly what we do. It's exactly what we say. And sometimes our example, you can talk to Richie. Sometimes my example may not be the best example all the time. to follow, right? Because again, we all have ups and downs. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. And so we want to make sure that as followers of Christ, that we follow him and others follow us as we follow God's example. That's what Paul was saying. He wasn't being prideful, arrogant. He's just a disciple maker. This is the way it worked out. And what's interesting is when Paul and Barnabas, after their first missionary journey, they're going to go do it again. Second missionary journey, they're excited, geared up. They got everything ready to go, and they get ready to start out. And Barnabas has got Silas with him. I got Silas is with us, and Luke is with us to write things down. So we have it all in the book of Acts. And Barnabas goes, "Hey, dude, you know what we ought to do again? We ought to take John Mark with us again. That'd be great to take John Mark." And Paul's like, "Man, I ain't taking that guy." Like, "What do you mean you ain't taking John Mark? The last time we went, the first missionary journey, that dude flaked out, right? He's like, I've got homesick and he wanted to go home. I'm not taking John Mark." What was interesting is they had such a disagreement that they were like, "Okay, well, you go one way and I'm going the other. You go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left." And he did. It's kind of a weird thing that happened, right? Such a sharp disagreement that they both went sideways. And so Paul takes Silas and they go one way, and Barnabas grabs John Mark and they go the other way. And so now they're doing missionary work, but it's kind of interesting because there's this whole kind of weird thing going on, right? And like, "Man, I thought we were supposed to be Christians." I know, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how sometimes we're not perfect as followers of Christ? If you come to this church for a while, you're probably going to find someone that you're like, "We just don't get along that well." It's just kind of something that happens. But you know what happens when you have someone that, I don't know, just for whatever reason, maybe because you're so alike, you just can't get along sometimes. You know what happens in those moments? That's when you really learn how to love somebody. It's easy to learn people that you cozy up to. Like, it's easy to learn to love Georgia Tech fans. Absolutely, right? It's so hard to love Georgia fans. I'm just kidding. Season. So I know. Christy goes, no. I'm just playing. So, but seriously, sometimes it teaches us that, right? And so Paul and Barnabas go the opposite directions. But I want you to see something really cool that happens, because there's discipleship that's going on. And so when we get later on, there's a change of heart. There's a change of heart in John Mark. John Mark realizes, "Dude, you got to grow up." I don't know what Barnabas said. We don't have a record of what Barnabas did, how he discipled him. But I'm sure there was some, "Dude, you got to suck it up, Buttercup. You got to get things on track, right?" And then there was a change of heart in Paul's life as well, because at the end of his life, Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he writes to Timothy in verse 9, and he says this. He says, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica," which by the way, that's the hard part of discipleship. I mean, you start leaning in to discipleship and you start putting your, you know, knowledge and your wisdom and your, you know, all your effort to help somebody. Sometimes they choose not to walk that path. Demas chose not to walk that path. It's kind of heartbreaking sometimes. That's the way discipleship can be. But then you got guys like Cretans, because he says Cretans has gone to Galatia. He was ministering in Galatia. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. You know, he's knocking it out of the park there. Paul says in verse 11, "Luke is with me." And here we go. Here we go. He says this, "And get Mark. Get John Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Somewhere along the way, Barnabas was able to disciple Mark in a way that now even Paul softened up and went, "Man, that Mark guy, I can't live without him. He is awesome. He's an incredible guy." Where would John Mark be without Barnabas? Where would you be without someone poured into you? Who is it that has yet to be poured into because you haven't done it yet? See, we need to be disciples who make other disciples. And this passage, by the way, shows us that next level of disciple making. Because Paul, here at the end of his life, he's a disciple who has made disciples. And you know what those disciples are doing? They're out making other disciples. Absolutely incredible. I mean, that's our goal. I mean, that's our goal as MC3, is to see people that are disciples, that are discipling other people who eventually will disciple other people. We need to be disciples who make disciples. So here is my question to you. First and foremost, And you can only answer this, only you and the Lord. Are you a disciple? That's first. Are you a disciple of Jesus? You know, I know a lot of you here, and I think for most of you here at MC3, unless you're pulling the wool over my eyes, you're students of Jesus, right? You're following him. You're in the Word. You are you're with the Lord in prayer. It doesn't matter kind of what level of knowledge you think you have or don't have. That doesn't matter, right? It's just the fact that you're in the Word, studying him and following the Lord, growing in the Word, growing in the Lord, growing in your relationship with him. Those are incredible things, right? Which, by the way, that all that right there is also a lifelong process. We never arrive, right? We will never arrive at, okay, I'm finished reading Bible now because I've completed it from Genesis to Revelation. Now, you know, when you get from Genesis to Revelation, you just started reading, right? Rinse and repeat. Have a great time with it because that's where the Lord speaks to us. I heard someone say it like this: a disciple learns to follow, follows to learn, but never arrives. Never arrives. But here's where we separate the men from the boys and the girls from the women, so to speak, right? Here's where we separate things out, right? First question is, are you a disciple? The next question gets even tougher, okay? So I hope you got your steel-toed boots, shoes, whatever on. Here we go. Are you a disciple that is making disciples? Are you a disciple that's making disciples? Listen, years ago, I would have said nope. Nope. Now, before you feel bad about yourself, before you feel inadequate, before you think, dude, I am a bad Christian, before you think, oh, I don't do that, right? Before you decide to throw in the towel, before you begin to rethink all your life decisions, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you to give yourself a break? Okay, give yourself a break. Understanding that as ministers, we have not done a good job with this. We have done a horrible job in making disciples, let alone teaching people how to make disciples. And so today, I just want to challenge you with three things. I want you to walk away with three things that you can begin to do as you begin to think about, Lord, I want to be a disciple who makes disciples. I just don't know how to do this. So you got to help me. Which, by the way, it's exactly what happened with me. Before I give you these, it's exactly what happened with me. The first place you want to start is prayer, okay? First place is prayer. To be a disciple who makes disciples, we need to pray that God gives us an opportunity to make a disciple, right? Years ago, I probably told you this before, I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm really making disciples. And so I asked, Lord, help me to, I want to be a disciple who makes disciples. Help me know how to do that, because I don't even know where to begin. I mean, do you just walk up to somebody and go, hey, dude, do you have anybody to disciple you? Because I'm looking for someone to disciple, and so therefore, is that what we do? You know, do we have an application that you give to someone? Like, hey, can you fill this out and get back with me? I mean, what do we do, right? So I didn't know what to do. I just prayed, Lord, I just need to help me. Fast forward, some guy calls me out of the blue by the name of Richie Smith. And says, hey, I'm Richie Smith. Do you remember me? I coached your kid in baseball. Yeah, Richie, I remember you. I was wondering, would you study the Bible with me? Duel. I'm telling you, pray. You seek the Lord. He'll make it happen one way or another. That's where it all began for me. That's where it began. And it began in prayer. And so for you and me, the first place we go is not, man, I'm terrible, I'm bad, I'm not discipling anybody, this is awful, should I just hang it up, you know? Does the Lord think I'm terrible? No. Just pray, right? If you know the scriptures, as you know, for the most part, right? And you can learn, you can study, then you could teach somebody, right? Pray, begin to pray now. Right? Don't pray later like, okay, I want to make sure I read. I want to make sure I'm all studied up. I want to make sure I've got all the knowledge and all the wisdom and everything I need. Can I just tell you, Jesus sent his disciples out after maybe a year and a half, maybe. And so you guys go out and do what I did, right? And he commissioned to do that. Let me just say this. You may not know all the Bible. You may not know all the ins and outs. And you may go, I don't know. Or what if somebody asks me a question I don't know? Welcome to my world. Most people ask me questions about things that I don't know. But I know someone who does. Man, right there in the Word. That's what study's all about. And a lot of times I've had to say, you know what? That's a great question. Let me get back to you on that one. That is an awesome question. I love it when people ask questions. You know what? People are asking questions. You know what's happening? They're learning. It's working, right? And then we're learning as well. So pray. Second thing is this. Look for opportunities to make disciples. As you pray, look for opportunities. Because you never know when the very person that you're supposed to disciple is right there in your sphere of influence. And you just never know when God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, now's the time. And it just will happen naturally. Third thing is this. In the midst of all that, while you're waiting, while you're praying, and while you're looking, because that could be a while, right? Who knows? It's really in the Lord's timing. As you're praying and as you're looking, the third thing is this. Prepare. Prepare yourself by getting in God's Word so that you are ready to make disciples when that happens. So that you're ready and ready to go, right? Like you're just ready to make it happen whenever it's go time. Whenever it's go time. At MC3, we want, can I cast a little vision for you and for me today? Can I just do that for you guys? I know it's Thanksgiving break and all that, but I'm just going to cast a little vision for you, okay? At MC3, we want to be a church that helps people walk one step closer to Jesus. We saw it when you came down the steps here. By the way, our apologies on the golf cart apparently went kaput. And so if you had to walk down 18 steps, our apologies. But maybe it was for the right reason. You could read those letters, right? We want to help people walk one step closer to Jesus. That's exactly what a disciple maker does. It's exactly what they do, right? One step at a time, right? So we want to do that. Also, too, we want to be a church that has to create other services to accommodate more people or more disciples that you reach. Now, I know that sounds like, oh, of course, you want more people. That's not necessarily the case. It's about seeing ministry take place and commissioning you to go out and minister. Keith and I can only do so much. Or excuse me, maybe I should say Keith can only do so much, right? So only Keith. So Keith, why don't you go do that? Keith, why don't you go do that? We can only do so much. We need your help. We need your help in this. And here's the thing. We're not the only ones that have been commissioned to do this. You've been commissioned to do it as well. We want to make sure that we provide all the helps for you to go out and to make disciples so that other people, here's what it's all about, so that other people can hear the message of Jesus, put their faith in him, turn from their ways and go and tell other people about Jesus so they'll believe and they'll just keep going and going and going. We also want to be a church that raises up a group of preachers. Do you know there is a lack of preachers right now? Some have gotten burned out, some have flamed out, and others are like, dude, I'm about ready to check out. And so we need to raise up a group of preachers. I know Keith has a passion for this with the young people, and so we need help in that. Therefore, we need disciples who make disciples so that those disciples will go, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take Art's job. I'd like to take Keith's job. I'd like to take Leslie's job. Right? So that we got people that are ready and willing to step in and minister. If a bus hits us tomorrow, that we won't miss a beat. That a ministry will continue on. We also want to be a church that makes other churches who in turn make other churches. We've often said here at MC3, although we haven't mentioned it a lot from stage lately, but we've often said that if the Lord blesses us and we fill two services, we will begin to look for another location, and someone by the name of Keith, his initials are Keith Taflinger, will be the one that we're going to point to go help make that happen. And we're going to need people from this congregation to go there and plant that so that we can begin to go and so that we can see, just like we saw with Roger Knipe that was here a few weeks ago, 83 congregations, I think he said, all throughout India. You know, if that can happen in India, it can happen here. But what we need are disciples who are making other disciples to make that happen. That's what we need. We want to be a church that makes disciples who make disciples. That's what we want to see happen. This is what we've been commissioned to do. And can I encourage you, can I encourage all of us just to do three things? Just to pray, just to look, and prepare. Prepare yourself for that. And then, once it happens, once the light turns green and you get ready to go out the door, therefore then go and make disciples. Here's the question. What does that look like practically, right? Because I think the hardest part is just the starting part, right? It's just going, right? Well, let me give you a true story so to kind of help you out along the way. A lady named Penelope met her new neighbor, Rachel, when they moved next door. Penelope got to know Rachel over walks and dinners and block parties. Penelope said that the very first time that we had them over for dinner, we had a spiritual conversation. So I knew it was something that she was open to talk about. But when Penelope would share something about the Bible or Jesus or her faith, Rachel would politely and kind of say something like, well, that's nice, and then kind of change the subject a little bit. And so, nonetheless, Penelope continued to pray and continued to look for opportunities where she might be able to impact her neighbor, Rachel. Then one day during their walk, Penelope just kind of casually asked the question about Rachel's daughter and how she was doing, and that's when Rachel began to break down. She explained that her daughter lived in Hollywood, had a possible substance abuse issue, and then she shared that they couldn't really trust her anymore with money and things of that nature. And so Rachel and her husband didn't like their daughter's lifestyle that she had adopted, and they were weary of kind of even letting her into the house, afraid that maybe she would do something to support her habit. And so Rachel began to pour out her heart to Penelope about this. And Rachel confessed that she and her husband were really struggling with this, and they had no clue what to do with any of this. And that's when Penelope said, Rachel, you know that I believe in God, right? And Rachel said, well, yeah, of course, I know that. She goes, I believe that God can do something in this situation with your daughter, because I've seen him do this over and over again in times of turmoil in my own life. I've seen how he's impacted me and how he's been able to take this chaotic situation and make things straight and make it easier, make it better. And she said, you know, in the neighborhood, I've taken some other women on, and she called it a spiritual journey, and watched how God has met their struggles and how he's freed them from those struggles. And Penelope didn't tell her that she was guiding her through a Bible study or anything like that, because she knew she'd be unresponsive to maybe that conversation right then and there. Instead, Penelope told her, she kind of called it a spiritual journey. And she said, Rachel, would you like to see God come into your family's life and kind of work supernaturally like he did in some of the people that I've known and even in my own life? And Rachel said, of course, I would love that. Absolutely. And then Penelope asked a critical, crucial question. She says, what would you be willing to sacrifice to see this happen? And Rachel replied, I'd be willing to sacrifice anything if it meant that my daughter could get past all of this. And that's where Penelope began discipling Rachel, taking her at her word that she'd be willing to do anything to help her daughter, even study the Bible, even studying scripture in God's word. Because you see, we can't disciple without God's word. We can't do it without his word. We need his word. We need to know what it says as believers in Christ, but we also need to share it with other people, because there is power in God's word. There's power in the gospel. The gospel can change people's lives. And so let me encourage you today to pray and look and prepare. Pray that God puts someone in your life. Look for opportunities. And then prepare yourself in the midst of that before you even get there, so that when it happens, you are ready to go and make disciples. Because you see, we've all been commissioned. Every one of us as followers of Jesus have been commissioned to be a disciple who makes disciples. And it's only possible. It's only possible because of what Jesus did for us at the cross and at the tomb. It's only possible. Here in just a few minutes, we're getting ready to take communion. And it's more than just going through the motions and, well, can we take communion? Because we always take communion. It really is a time for us, hopefully, a time of decision, right? Where we get to really decide within ourselves, am I doing what God has called me to do? right? For some of you, you've already been a disciple. You've been there, you've done that. You were baptized. You've been there. It's been a while since all that. But all of us need to be challenged. All of us need to kind of ask ourselves, what am I doing? How am I doing with this? What else do I need to do? And I think when we come to a time of communion, when we think about what Jesus has done for us, the length to which Jesus went to love us and care for us, that he gave himself up for us, that he submitted himself to death on a cross for your sin and my sin, that should change something within us. That should change something within us. So as you partake of the bread, man, be thinking about the fact that Jesus submitted himself to the Father and even to the Roman soldiers and died a death for you and for me, submitted himself and took our sin upon himself so that he might pay for those sins in full. So as you partake of the bread, remember that. Remember what Jesus has done for you. And as you partake of the cup, remember it's not just about the grape juice. It's about the fact that Jesus' blood was poured out for you and for me. And he did all of that so that when we came to him, when we heard the gospel, we could come and that we could actually get baptized. That's a great thing about baptism, by the way, is you don't have to be baptized. You get to be baptized. That's an incredible thought. And it's only possible because what Jesus did at the cross and at the tomb. It's only possible there. So as you partake today, thank the Lord for the good news that you heard from somebody about Jesus. And then I want you to ask him, Lord, who is it that I need to share this with? Who is it that I need to begin to perhaps maybe begin to disciple them? And maybe you don't know. Maybe nobody comes to mind just yet. But that's what prayer is all about. That's why it's important. Jim Barber will be right over here. I'll be right over here. If you need someone to pray with you in that vein, we'd be happy to do that. If you got questions about baptism or you got questions about making disciples, you come to us. We'll do our level best to answer your questions and help you get that one step closer to Jesus. But let me just say this. Don't walk out of here the same way you came in. Okay? We want you to understand that you've been given a purpose. All of us have been given a purpose that we need to fulfill, that we need to be disciples who make disciples. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for putting this vision, Lord God, right in front of us. Lord, for allowing us to see exactly what it is that you want us to do, the purpose for which we've all been created. Lord, that in the midst of sharing our life with other people and sharing the gospel with other people, that we might also, Lord God, fulfill the purpose for which you've called us, Lord God, that we might glorify you in that, Lord God, in making disciples. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, that we might be a church that makes other churches, that we might be a church that has to make other services, that we might be a church that helps people walk one step closer to you, that we might be disciples who make other disciples. Help us in that, Lord God. Walk with us as we walk with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. By the way, we got two tables in the back for communion, two tables up front, and Jim and I will be here for prayer. Won't you come and partake?